Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined in studio by Corey Curtis from News 2. Parker Kelly on the ones and twos on this Wednesday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Corey, as always, appreciate you coming in. Should be a fun show today. We'll talk some Titans, big weekend of college football coming up, and much more. Nick Frazier going to swap out for me at 11 o'clock as well. Corey, how's it going?
I'm tired, but I'm adequate. I'm adequate. By the way, big weekend on News too.
Yes.
We've got Vanderbilt at 11 a.m. and then we've got the Vols in primetime at 6:30 in really what equates to a playoff game. So we got, and then there's another good game at the 2:30 hour. I'm trying to remember which one it is. It's Georgia's cocktail party.
Right. Yeah. Georgia, world's Florida, largest cocktail party,
which we're not allowed to call it anymore.
Really?
But we do. But yeah, so it's another great lineup, another baffling decision by CBS to get away from that.
Yeah.
Especially when I see some of the games they're putting on, but you know, I don't make those decisions, and good for News 2.
Is this three straight weeks for ABC stations and News 2 with SEC the full day? I think it is.
I mean, it seems like we've had, you know, most of the time we've had a full boat of SEC games and a full boat of ranked teams. I mean, I think Florida's our only unranked team this week.
Yeah, yeah, because Tennessee-Vandy, top 20 matchup, and then Tennessee-Oklahoma, like you said, is
it's a playoff
game. An elimination game.
Yep.
Loser is out, so we'll talk about that game coming up later on in the show as well. Wanted to start with the Titans.
Let's do it.
We started with Vandy last week, you know, so we'll get back to our usual schedule here. The Titans, the big news this week, trading away Roger McCreary, former second-round pick, getting back a late-round pick swap. They get basically their own fifth-round pick back from the Rams that they traded in the Ernest Jones trade last year.
Awesome.
And then they trade away the lowest of their 3 sixth-round picks that they have back to the Rams.
So it'll be like fifth.
Right. So, yes. So they're going to move up about 60 spots in the draft, and you trade away your starting nickel cornerback. That is now two starting cornerbacks that you've traded away this year.
Yeah.
Neither one has gotten you a clean pick. No. Both of them have been late round pick swaps, and now Legarius Sneed's on IR.
Wasn't Brownlee a seventh?
It was a sixth for a seventh. Yeah. So moving up.
Do you leaps and bounds? Okay. Look, I understand the whole notion of you're not gonna re-sign those guys, but Brownlee still doesn't make any sense because
he had two more years on a rookie deal.
But you're trading away starters for picks that aren't supposed to be starters. Now, sometimes they are, but really those are usually special teams players, taking a flyer on a guy, depth piece, developmental guy, and this team needs starters.
Yeah.
And I know you're not gonna get that kind of value for those picks. But the other thing is, they didn't even get picks.
No. They still have the same amount of picks as they did when they started this.
They need players. They need lots of them. They need lots of them. And I guess this gives you a better chance of hitting on your picks or just of having more higher disappointment in your picks, which we're used to at this point. But I think that's the most troubling thing to me is you've traded away two starters and gotten zero picks out of it. Zero. And I know the price is the price, but you know, you've made these deals well before the deadline and you've gotten zero picks. I know I'm probably wrong, but whatever.
The market is what somebody is willing to pay for a player. It is disappointing to look and say, hey, that we spent the 35th overall pick on Roger McCreary 3 years ago. Why can't we at least get a clean fourth or fifth back for him?
But sixth.
Sixth. You're trading Roger McCreary for, or it's 8 weeks of Roger McCreary plus the playoffs, or 10
Nine.
Weeks, whatever it is. And teams just aren't willing to pay all that much at the trade deadline unless they're getting an elite player back. And a lot of times those guys aren't available at the trade deadline.
But are these guys playing? I mean, Roger McCreary's going to play.
Right.
Jarvis Brownlee's starting.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So, I mean, they're getting starters.
The McCreary one I can live with because, again, it's like the market's the market. I do wonder, and I said this yesterday, I wonder why you don't wait a little bit longer and see if someone gets desperate and gives you a clean pick back. But whatever.
I guess their notion and their conversations was this was absolutely the best they were going to do.
And
I mean, you don't know what's going to happen this weekend, though. You know, yeah. Somebody has somebody go down,
right.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, we got to have
we
somebody.
We have to have Roger McCreary.
Do you have a DB with short arms? All right, we'll take him.
And they clearly did not value him as a long-term piece here.
No.
They're not going to pay him $10-plus million a year to be their starting nickelback.
If you think he's going to get that much. I mean, he
I saw his valuation, which is not always accurate, yes, online, was $14
million. Yeah.
Which I would say it's probably more in the 10 to 12 range.
Yeah,
but
I'd say 8 to 12.
But either way, clearly you don't extend him before the season. There was never any notion that they were trying to extend him. They clearly didn't value him as a long-term piece here. You got what you could.
My thing is if you're signing a Roger McCreary in free agency, you're getting a durable guy, a dependable guy,
yeah,
a guy who's not going to rock the boat. I mean, he's got a lot of checks in the good column. Is he a dynamic player? No. No, he's not. All right? But when you put him out there, you're like, oh, crap. We got, how are we going to get through this one? No. No. And we've seen a lot of that.
That's like half the Titans team.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, for the last 3 years.
I think it was Mike Herndon on Twitter put out there when the Titans traded him. It's like, the Titans overvalue Roger McCreary just because he is not a bad player.
You know,
it's
that, like, there's probably some truth to that.
Right.
I mean, there's so many holes on this team. Like, right now, I mean, if I told you 2 months ago, you'd be like, gosh, I hope they don't trade Draymond Jones. Because, I mean, who else are they going to put out there?
Yeah.
Who else are they going to put out there? Now, he's probably got value.
He's got three sacks in the last 3 weeks.
You might actually be able to get a pick for him.
Him and Arden Key, I would guess one of them will be gone. You probably can't trade both without running.
Oh, no, they could trade them both. Trust me. If they could get a couple 7-round pick swaps, you know, they could both be gone.
There you go, yeah. We'll trade you our 7th to move up two spots to your 7th.
Whichever 7th is higher. If ours is higher, we'll keep it.
And you can just have Draymond Jones. The Jarvis Brownlee Jr. one is the one that will never make sense.
No.
It's a talented young player who you picked in the 5th round, and he has turned into a starting level cornerback.
But why did you have to jettison him?
Right, for nothing.
I mean, but why? Couldn't you just inactivate him on game day until you can work a trade where you actually get something for him?
Yeah, and the Titans clearly just did not want him in that locker room anymore. And
he had to go.
The quote came out yesterday on a Jets podcast where I guess Jarvis Brownlee was packing up his stuff in the locker, getting ready to talk to media.
After their big win over the Bengals.
He made the final play to win the game against the Bengals.
Yep.
And he asked the reporters, what time is it? And they said 4:57, and he goes, great, I still have time to go watch the Titans lose.
Yeah.
So if there was any doubt that there was some hard feelings between Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And the Titans, that's now confirmed.
If you saw Jarvis after the trade was made, you knew there were hard feelings, except then he was just depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, it was emotional for him. It's emotional for any of us when we're told for the first time, we don't want you.
Yeah.
You're not good enough, whether it's a girlfriend or a job or a school or whatever. The first time somebody says, get out. No, don't want you around here. It stings. So it stings, and I get that it's going to sting. But many are talking like, aha, Jarvis gets the last laugh. The Jets stink.
They are still 1-7, just like
you. The Jets stink. They won just like the Titans did with a fourth quarter miracle. And by the way, I know he made the play on the last play of the game. They gave up 38 points to Joe Flacco. It's not like Jarvis and company locked it down for the day and got it done.
Right.
All right? He made a play, which I'm stunned he didn't get flagged for illegal contact or holding or pass interference. Okay? I'm not saying he did, but he did a lot of it here. Okay? And so, yes, he made a play. He gets to gloat for the day. That's great. They might win one more game or two this year.
Yep.
Maybe. So enjoy that, because you can pound your chest that we went 3-14 while the Titans went 1-16, and good for you. It's like Sean Payton with the
Russell Wilson
thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a Russell Wilson fan, but you're an adult. Move on.
It takes a lot to make Russell Wilson look like the good guy. Right? Like, no one – I say this, not trying to go after him, but, like, no one likes Russell Wilson. That dude is – he's corny.
He's fake.
And he's a little bit egotistical, even though he hasn't played very well for the last 5 years.
A little bit.
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, he is not a very likable person.
No.
And Sean Payton going after him for absolutely no reason made Russell Wilson look good.
Look, you'd already won that war.
Yeah.
And that's like holding your Super Bowl parade like a year after it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we won it in 2024, and I know it's 2025, but we're doing this thing again.
Yeah.
Because we just want to rub salt in the wounds. And so, you know, there are ways. I mean, look at Roger McCreary. He puts out a thank you letter. I mean,
typos in there.
Wrong family.
Wrong,
that's okay.
Team name was spelled wrong, too.
Did he really?
He had an extra I in there. It said Titans.
Titans? You know what? I like Roger, and I. Intent means more than anything, and the intention was good.
To be classy,
yes,
put out a statement,
you.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the way an adult acts.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if Roger McCreary thought of this or not, that makes, his contract's up, that makes you more marketable, okay?
Correct.
That makes you more marketable. And being an adult is never a bad thing. Yes, we need dogs. Yeah, absolutely. But we also need adults in this world.
Yep.
We need, because at the end of the day, every NFL team will take a guy that they can count on over a guy who's a dog.
Agreed. Agreed. And Roger McCreary, I think, has shown nothing less than that he is somebody that you can count on when he's been here in Nashville. He's going to be with the Los Angeles Rams moving forward. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. with the Jets. Legarius Sneed on IR. Which leaves this cornerback room looking very practice squad-ish. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Denard Wilson made some comments about the Titans cornerback room yesterday. And yeah, I can't say I blame him based on what he's left with. We'll talk about the thin Titans cornerback room coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Denard Wilson yesterday talking about the depleted cornerback room that he has with star names like Jalen Armour Davis and Samuel Womack and Daryl Baker, Marcus Harris.
I like Daryl. Daryl's a good guy.
You got three waiver claims, a practice squad steal, and a six-round rookie. That is your cornerback room right now.
Not a lot of investment there.
No, there is not. No, there is not. Legarius Sneed, guy you traded for, signed to a big extension, gone. Second-round pick, Roger McCreary, gone.
Yeah.
Fifth-round pick, Jarvis Brownlee, gone.
By the way, they did have what was the kid's name last year from Cincinnati, the corner?
I can't remember.
Ouzier. Oh, yeah. Chidobe Ouzier. Yeah.
Who is starting for who now?
The Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yes, yeah.
Somehow he stays healthy for them.
It is. That was one of the stranger moves of the offseason. I understand Chidobe wasn't great.
Oh, I knew he was gone.
But it's a body in that room that especially with all of the confusion around Legarius Sneed on and off the field.
Yeah, but he was old. And his physical ability was unreliable. I mean, because it wasn't just here he got hurt. He'd been hurt the last couple of years in Cincinnati.
Right.
And so you couldn't pay him again. You couldn't have another year of him and Sneed both watching from the sideline making $25 million a year. And so and you were able to get out of that deal.
Yeah.
I knew he was gone. You just would hope they used the money to bring in another starter. Which they did not.
Yep.
They did not.
And now you have holes at 1, 2, and 3 at cornerback.
Look, to be realistic, you had to come in to this season with like two subset starters at corner because you couldn't rely on – if you were relying on Sneed to be healthy this year, you were crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
We were putting the over-under on games on him at 4, all right? So he already got the over.
He did. He played 7.
And does anyone, I'm not trying to bash on the guy, but I'm just being realistic. Does anyone expect him to play another game this year?
No, I think we have seen the last snap of Legarius Sneed.
That's the expectation. And if he comes back, great. How many games will it be for? 1 or 2?
Yeah, he's got to miss at least 3 more games.
And I guess I also could be salty from, you know, from talking to him. You know, he's just given us so little.
Yeah.
that you just don't know how much he cares. And I know the coaches say, oh, he cares, he works hard. Well, we don't have a lot of evidence, you know, because we don't get to see a lot of it. And everything that we've seen and we've heard, I don't know how important it is.
Yeah, and you see the not just physical mistakes like he had against the Patriots where he gets burned by Booty and ends up being a touchdown, and that wasn't completely on him. The safeties, I don't think, played that very well either. But, like, the play against the Texans on 2nd and 33, that cannot happen as a veteran in this league. That is a rookie mistake.
No, he hasn't been a good player for them, and he was supposed to be a great player for them.
Yep.
I mean, it's been a crushing blow. But Denard Wilson, yeah, if I'm him, and I know you got to be a good soldier,
yeah,
and I know you got to coach the guys, but, you know, if I start a fight and they say, oh, ho, 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 come back here, and they tie my right arm behind my back,
yeah,
I'm going to be like, what am I doing? what are we talking about here? Wait, I got to fight that guy, and I got to do it with one arm? I mean, this is his resume. This is his resume, and he's got to go out there. I mean, he's out of a job after this season.
Yeah.
And he knows it. And now you're asking him to go out there and do it with this? I mean, it's different from Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy is grateful for the opportunity. Denard Wilson came here to coach an NFL defense.
Yeah.
Not a garage sale. And that's what they're at the Goodwill truck, all right? And they're pulling off shirts, and they're getting dressed to go into dinner, all right?
Not that we know every single position group in the NFL, but I think it's fair to say the Titans cornerbacks is the worst position group in the NFL.
Take your pick.
It could only be rivaled by the edge group if you trade Draymond Jones and Arden Key at the deadline because, I mean, you might start running.
If you traded Draymond Jones, I mean, look, imagine if they hadn't signed Draymond Jones and Jihad Ward.
Now, see, I've got an idea, and we heard from, I forget who it was. It might have been Mike McCoy, that Xavier Restrepo plays some DB in practice squad. Maybe that's the plan. We're going to catch the strep on defense.
Troy Brown, former New England Patriot.
Yeah.
He did it.
Julian Edelman played some defense when he first came into the league, too.
Restrepo would be a perfect replacement for Roger.
There you go.
Short, with short arms.
Yep. Not a ton of athletic traits. There we go. Xavier Restrepo, you're the starting nickel this week. Get in there.
He's thick. He can be physical. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek and almost certainly joking, but, like, could Xavier Restrepo be a better option than some of the options they've got out there? I don't really know. It's bad over in that cornerback room. I don't know how you can even consider this team being close in games when that's the cornerback group.
Well, Jalen
Armour-Davis is your cornerback one, and he has been horrible this year.
Yes. He passed up Darryl?
I mean, when it was Snead out there, Jalen Armour-Davis was the one playing opposite him.
I'll take Darryl.
I would, too.
You're probably right. But
at least based on the usage, Jalen Armour-Davis has been there.
Yeah, and Darryl's concussed, so we don't know if he'll play this week. It's terrible. They do have the one victory this season, but all the other games that they've lost have all been by at least 8 points.
Yes.
Which tells you they're not competitive. They're not competitive. And, you know, they weren't competitive for three quarters. And by competitive, I mean competitive on the scoreboard, because I do think they try hard.
Right.
They do play hard.
But you're not in games.
No.
And that Cardinals game should have been 28-6 early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Guy doesn't drop the ball.
It's been horrible. And
it's not going to get better.
You are right. I look, there's a Twitter account that put out what-if standings in the NFL and flipped all of the one-score games and said, what would your record be? The Titans would still be 1-7.
No, well, the Broncos is technically a one-score game.
Yeah, but they'd flip the Cardinals game, too. So the Cardinals would win that one, and the Titans would win the Broncos game, so all they'd right, be 1-7.
Okay, I got you.
Guess what the Jets would be?
I don't know, like 3-4?
6-2.
Six and one. Yeah.
Something like that. So the Jets are one of the teams that you are tied with for the worst record in the NFL. They've been competitive.
Yeah. And the Jets could be a lot like, well, I hate to compare them to the Colts because the Colts had pieces. I mean, like, we knew the Colts had an offensive line. We knew they
had a great
Taylor
running back
and Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
We knew they had this stuff. But if the Jets could just get some competent quarterback play, how many games would they win?
More than they have.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, he hasn't been good when he's been in there, but I think he can't be worse than Justin Fields, right?
I mean, we've seen Tyrod for a decade now.
Yeah.
I mean, he is what it is. It's like Jacoby Brissett. It's, you know, these guys come in, once in a while they flash, and they give you a good game. You go, oh, well, we could roll with that guy. And then reality sets in.
Yeah.
That they're not starters, and that's why they're not starters. Because believe me, if you can start, you're going to find your way on the field.
Right.
And Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are perfect examples of that. They bounced around, and once they got their opportunity, and they kept getting opportunities, and once, you know, once that clicked, they were the starter.
It's good for the Titans that the Jets and the Saints have been competitive in their games, because it looks more likely that they're going to win another game. I don't know if I would pick the Titans to win another game this year.
No.
And then the Jets and Saints have to come up and trade with you to get the number one pick.
Now, the only thing about the Saints is they've turned to the rookie quarterback.
They have. Tyler Shuck going to start this week.
They are making a commitment towards losing. I mean, they are trying their best. I'm not a Spencer Rattler guy, but I'm confident his level of play is going to be better than what Tyler Shuck's is going to be. And so they're not the only team, though. I mean, the Browns are also on this suck wagon, okay? And then there's another team that we haven't talked about. Pull up the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Look at their schedule. Find me the win the rest of the way.
We were talking about coaches who could be fired.
I think
the one that nobody's really talking about enough is Jonathan Gannon.
He's gone. He's gone. I mean, they're 2-5. They could very well go 2-15. Look at their schedule. They could go 2-15. I'm not saying they will. I mean, they could very well go 4-13, have a great year. But there's not a lot of wins. It is so amazing when, like, look at the Patriots' schedule.
It's cakewalk.
Yes, in their path to, what are they, 6-2?
They're 6-2, yeah. And they have the tiebreak. They have the head start on the tiebreaker with the Bills.
And I'm not saying they don't deserve to be 6-2, but the schedule has been favorable to Vrabes and company. Okay?
Yeah.
They have not racked up the impressive wins. They got the Buffalo win, but the other five, there's not a lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah, the Cardinals, the only games I see that I look at and say, yeah, they could win that one, Falcons, who have shown that they're uncompetitive against some bad teams sometimes.
Yeah.
And then the Bengals, who knows if Joe Burrow is back at that point in week 17.
Do you think the Cardinals will be favored in either of those games? I do not.
No, I don't think so.
So I think they will be an underdog the rest of the way. And like I said, they might win one or two more, but they're definitely going to be in double-digit defeats, like well into it. And we were talking about this before. The haves and have-nots.
The spread is just...
I have never seen in 50 years or 40-plus years of watching the NFL this many teams that are just in the dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we always have one, two, or three teams that are a dumpster fire for usually the quarterback reason, but we're like 6-7 teams deep in the dumpster fire this year.
There's even bad teams in the NFL. Usually it's like, oh, they played with them for 2.5 quarters, and they're blowouts. The Titans.
I mean, the Raiders stink.
Yeah, there was one score game this week in the NFL, which does not happen in the NFL. It's meant to be competitive, meant for parity.
You know how bad the Raiders are? They signed Tyler Lockett.
Yes, they did.
They ate the Titans' garbage. They went into the trash can and said, "I'll eat that." Yes,
we went through it yesterday or Monday too. Titans, they're negative 120 point differential through 8 games. They are on track to have the 6th worst point differential in NFL history.
You know, Jake, my mom always told me consistency is the mark of a champion.
Yep.
So there's that.
They're losing by 15 points a game.
Consistent. Well, when you're the lowest scoring team in the league,
yep,
that's what happens.
That is true. And the Titans, you want that number one pick so you can see if somebody will come up and trade with you.
Well, that's the nice thing about having so many teams who stink is if you are picking first, they're all going to want that quarterback.
Right.
And they'll be fighting each other to get there. And so you can trade back into the first 5 picks and get more picks.
Yes.
And, you know, that was kind of the thing with the Giants pick last year, that you could trade back, what was it, to 3?
2 spots, yeah.
And so you're still picking 3rd and getting more picks.
Right.
And that's what made that trade so attractive.
Yeah, we don't know what quarterbacks are going to be at the top of the draft yet.
There's going to be some.
At this point last year, Shador Sanders was being considered the number one overall pick, yep. So you don't know what is all going to sort out. But let's say that it's you, the Jets, the Saints, and the Saints want to leapfrog the Jets.
Yep.
They'll pay a decent amount to come up and get whoever it is, and maybe you still get Reuben Bain at number three. That would be phenomenal,
you know,
for the Titans.
Look, the Raiders could be in that quarterback market as well. The Dolphins could be in the quarterback market. You know, the Giants. Well, not Giants. They've got Jackson Dart now. They're probably good with that.
We don't know.
No, I mean, but probably.
Still 10 games to go.
Yeah, probably. They're probably good for another year at least. But, look, there are going to be teams in that quarterback market.
Yeah.
They're just...
The Saints starting Tyler Shuck means that we get another quarterback for fans to call in and say is better than Cam Ward after he has an okay game this week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call our phone lines.
He is not having an okay game this week. They're playing the Rams in his first NFL start.
Roger McCreary will have a pick six in that game.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, if you're the Saints, this is how you welcome this kid. This is the best pass rush in the NFL maybe, right?
Yeah.
Go get him, kid.
Yep.
We believe in you. You got it.
Watch out for Verse. He's pretty good. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Jacksonville State tonight at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, the turning point of Sunday's game for the Titans was the 4th-and-3 early in the third quarter. Not saying they would have won the game, but it went from a 10-point game to being over in the span of about two plays. We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this 70s. Wednesday.
That's 70s. That's not 80s.
We've kind of gone
BG's.
Throwback here.
This is an 80s playlist on YouTube.
Is it really?
Yeah.
When did Stayin' Alive... Okay. Well, Saturday Night Fever came out probably in the 70s, and Stayin' Alive, which was the sequel, probably came out around
1977.
Which one?
Stayin' Alive.
Okay. All right.
So, you're good call, Corey.
Because I'm the person who was old enough to be alive during this. I remember going to the drive-in and seeing Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
All right. And I say the drive-in. We went to the drive-in to see Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
It says 1979 is when the song. So
I just
right
saw
on the cusp.
Maybe the
right
AI on Google wasn't working for me. But anyway, it's throwback Wednesday.
You know, it's close enough.
We give Parker some leeway back there.
Most importantly, did you like the song?
Oh,
that's
most
important thing.
You know, I've never been like a Bee Gees guy,
yeah. Okay.
but I don't hate them.
I'll cross it off the list. That's not good enough.
They're unique. You know who you can put on the list? You could put Blondie on the list.
Blondie. Okay.
Yeah. I think you might have gotten some of that a few weeks ago. But yeah.
There's a few good ones there.
We got time for Parker to get to that today, sure.
They came in right at the end of the disco era.
Okay.
Into pop. And so, yeah, they were like 1980.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
All right. We'll see if Parker can get some of that queued up for the rest of the show. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Titans on Sunday, you're down 17-7 at halftime.
Yep.
You did miss a field goal heading into the half as well.
58-yarder.
Not a chip shot for Joey Sly. But you get a big play to Chigakonkwo to start off the second half.
Yep.
You're across midfield. You get to 3rd-and-3. You run the ball.
You don't get anything.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the 42-yard line. And Mike McCoy sends out the punt unit.
Yep.
And you could read Cam Ward's lips of, Mike, what are we doing? Go for it.
Well, that's what probably Mike's been saying all season watching the offense play. So, you know, Cam can get in line there.
That is a good point. They punt it away. Johnny Hecker can't keep it from going into the end zone.
It's a terrible punt.
Yep. Goes.
And he's a Hall of Fame punter. It's a terrible punt.
Hit over 1,000 punts now in his career.
Yeah.
It feels like half of them have come this year. But bring it out to the 20. One play later, Jonathan Taylor able to tiptoe down the sideline.
And a horrendous
He's
effort.
In the end zone. Xavier Woods, Amani Hooker both had chances to knock him out of bounds and couldn't. And the game's basically over at that point. You're down 24-7. And I just don't understand the inability to be aggressive from this team of just, hey, I get you don't want to completely just go all the way to the wall and say, we're 1-6, we're just going to do whatever, we'll go for it, we'll fake punts, we'll do onside kicks, whatever. But in that situation, I think most teams would go for it there, especially a team that is 1-6, already fired the head coach, you're down by 10 on the road against the best team in the NFL by record. Go for it. It made absolutely no sense to punt that ball.
Okay. Most modern coaches, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Shane Steichen.
Dan Campbell.
He goes for everything. But but most of these younger coaches, yeah, they're all going to go. Analytics say to go, so they're going to go. When you get – and Mike McCoy's not that old.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this to be disparaging. He looks a little older than he is. He's only like 53. All right. He's younger than I am.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, look back at his pictures with the Chargers. He doesn't have the full gray hair.
Yeah.
But that job might have aged him.
He's coaching an old school mentality of okay, we'll punt and we'll play defense and we'll get the ball back at midfield and we'll dial it back up again. And, you know, so most of the older coaches that are left in the league are probably going to lean towards that. Or if you've got a really strong defense. Well, the Titans don't have a really strong defense.
No, they do not.
So, you know, that's the flaw number one. But again, I understand his mentality in doing it. Okay. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand this is the way he's thought it for 40 years.
Yeah.
Okay. This is how you play in the NFL. Okay. So you got to understand that, number one. Number two, he has been here for 8 games. He has watched this offense for 8 games. And he knows there is not one single play in that playbook that he can count on to say, this is going to work. All right? Mike Mularkey, love Mike Mularkey as coach. People can disparage him all they want. He was a great head coach for this football team. He had plays that he knew would work. Knew it. Knew it. He had one play he called to Marcus Mariota. He said, Marcus, you're going to do this. You're going to score a touchdown. So go run it. I'll see you in the end zone. We'll high-five when you get back over here. And he scored a touchdown, and they high-fived when he came back over to the sideline.
Yep.
I mean, he knew what they had, and he knew what was going to work. All right? And I don't think Mike McCoy or this offensive staff has any play in their pocket that they pull out and go, all right, this is good for 4. All right? In the most dire situation, we can pull this one out, and this will be executed for 4 yards.
Yep.
They don't have that. If they did, it's an easy decision, all right? And again, I'm not saying they should have gone for it. I'm just saying what's going on in his brain that makes him not go for it, all right? And just there's been no consistency at all on offense. And then he's also got a Hall of Fame punter who he thinks is going to pin him inside the 10. And it's a terrible punt, and they get the ball to 20, and it's a 20-yard exchange. It's nothing went right. Nothing went right in that exchange. You can blame Mike McCoy all you want for it. The punter didn't execute, and the defense didn't execute. Nobody backed him up.
Yeah.
Nobody backed him up. Now, you can say, well, he didn't back up his offense. That's fine. That's fine. But nobody backed him up on his decision either.
And we talked about it during the break. The decision after running it on 3rd and 3 makes less sense, too.
I didn't get to that.
Like, it's 3rd and 3. It makes sense to run it if you think it's 4-down territory.
If you run it if you're saying you're basically declaring when you run it on 3rd down,
we're going.
Unless you lost like 3 yards.
Yes.
All right, but they got 0, and you're prepared for 0. So, you know, that to me tells me, hey, we're going on 4th down.
Yep.
That was the most egregious thing.
I agree.
If you weren't going on 4th down, why didn't you throw it?
Yeah. 3rd and 3 in that spot. Yeah, I like the call to run the football because it puts you in a position where, let's say you get 2 yards and it's 4th and 1. Maybe you're in QB sneak territory at that point. If you don't get anything, you're still 4th and short, and you have a chance to – playbook's completely open, but then you just run the offense off the field.
I think the problem there is the head coach and the offensive coordinator, or the play caller in this case, not the offensive coordinator, the play caller, they – weren't set on what their plan was for 4th down going into 3rd down.
Yeah.
And I think in that situation, you have to know what we're doing on 4th down.
Well, that's the same situation we talked about in the first Colts game, where mm-hmm. Brian Callahan couldn't make a decision on whether to kick or whether to go for it. Yep. At the end of the half. And that's a decision that should be made before third down, not after you don't get it on third down.
Yes, I completely agree. You've got to coach plays in advance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the job. And it's part of the reason the head coach in a lot of places doesn't call plays.
Right.
Because he's playing steps ahead.
Right. That should be something that McCoy, ahead of the third down call, is talking to Bo Hardigree and says, hey, we're going here or we're not going here.
Yes. Like,
you know.
You got two plays to get this.
Right.
You got one play to get this.
Yep.
Because I guarantee you, if you said you got one play to get this,
he wouldn't have called that.
No, he wouldn't have. And I think, and that's why I think those two guys may have been on two different pages.
Right.
But they can't be.
No.
They can't be. They got to be on the same page. And maybe they were, maybe, but look, nobody thinks that makes sense.
Yes. If they were on the same page, then that's not the page they should have been on.
They need a different page. They need a different page.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll wrap up hour number one after this, talking Titans. College football talk coming up at the top of the hour. Vols in a pseudo playoff game, elimination game against Oklahoma.
There's
this
nothing
weekend.
Pseudo about it.
Well, it is not technically a playoff
game.
One
of these teams is done.
Right. One of these teams gets to move on to next week with their playoff hopes still alive. The other one can start getting ready for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Vanderbilt taking on Texas this weekend. Not a playoff game, but a big one for the Commodores if they're going to get to the college football
playoff.
It's a
playoff game for Texas.
It is for Texas.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. That was Mike McCoy on Monday talking about the decision to punt it on 4th-and-3 from the Indianapolis 42 early in the third quarter. The first play from scrimmage for the Colts goes 80 yards for a touchdown, and you're down 17 points. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. There's a blotty for you.
Debbie Harry.
Yeah.
Rock and roll legend.
I always love the music on Wednesdays. Parker does a nice job back there.
Spinning the hits.
Yes, he does. We talked about the decision there. And
yeah, it's exactly what
Mike
I said.
Mike McCoy talks through it there. We want to pin him deep and trust our defense. And he says the defense had done a nice job.
Well, they did at the end of the second quarter. They did.
They're on track to give up 34 points, which is like
but
again.
They had gotten you stops, but again, you can't count on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say you got lucky. You got through it, all right? You got through it. That doesn't mean it's going to keep happening. I enjoy his accountability.
Yeah.
I enjoy
he
his
He said he would go back and he would go for
and
it.
And say, yep, I blew it. That's on me, which is a much better answer than lying. And saying, well, you know, I mean, just yeah, you know what? I should have gone for it, and I didn't.
Yeah. And I do like Mike McCoy.
Boom. End of story.
He's pretty straight up with you, and he's not he's not going to beat around the bush at all.
Look, he's not going to be the coach next year. I like him. I like him.
Yeah. I don't mind Mike McCoy.
No.
I really, really hope that he's not in consideration for the next head coach.
He's not going to be.
He might get an interview.
He might, but he's not going to get the job.
Right. And we've seen it through 2 weeks that things have not gotten enough better.
They've got a new stadium to open.
Yeah. They need something to excite the fan base.
They have got, I don't want to say hit a home run, they've got to have credibility behind this hire. All right? They've got to give fans a reason to go, all right, it could get better. It really could. And whether that's Mike McCarthy, Marcus Freeman,
Arthur Smith, I think that would at least get the fan base.
Do you think? I like Art a lot, but I don't know that he excites the fan base.
I think he would, because the last time we saw this offense be competent was with him here.
Yeah, you also had Derrick Henry.
They were competent in 2021, too, but the best offense that Titans fans have seen in a very long time was under Arthur Smith.
And they had Derrick Henry, and they had A.J. Brown, and they had Corey Davis, and they had an offensive line that could get it done. I mean, they had players. And, again, I like Arthur Smith a lot. I mean, I've known Art a long time. But I don't know that excites people.
I think Art would excite people more than a Matt Nagy would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I agree with that.
But yes, I agree. I think Mike McCarthy would be up there. The one guy that I think everybody has moved on from because it's probably not going to happen, but the one guy who would excite the fan base the most is John Gruden.
Oh.
And it's not going to happen.
The NFL's not going to
happen. The NFL, I don't think, would let it happen, and I don't think that's something that Amy would want. I don't know.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't want any more negative attention.
Right.
I'm sure she's had her fill of it.
There's too much baggage with that.
Yes.
Which is also why I don't think Brian Flores would be a fit here either.
That's a tough one.
You just don't want the extra stuff that comes with it.
We talk about Art, but I mean, another former Titans coach who's a good coach and who has won in the NFL is Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about Jim Schwartz. He's still got a house in Brentwood. All right. And he is a high voltage guy, and he turned an 0-16 team into a playoff team. Okay. And every team he goes to, their defense is pretty darn good.
I could get behind Jim Schwartz.
If I could get like a Jim Schwartz Arthur Smith marriage, I'd be all about it.
That'd be great.
I'd be all about it.
The Robert Saleh Mike McDaniel marriage has been brought up a lot. I don't know how realistic that is. I think Robert Saleh wants to go to a.
What about Sark? Has made it known he's interested.
What a disaster
By the way, for Texas, how does that look?
Well, it's funny because I saw Deanna Russini went on, I think it was on the Dan Le Batard show yesterday, and was asked about that report. And she goes, "We didn't talk to any NFL teams, and that didn't come from Sark or his agents." I'm like,
"Oh,
then where
please.
Are you getting it from?"
Yeah.
Well, because his agents came out and denied the report like an hour later.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you didn't talk to any NFL teams,
and you didn't talk to Sark,
how can you report that that Sark is interested in NFL jobs?
If it's not from Sark and it's not from his agent, what did his wife tell you?
Right.
I mean,
his mom?
His quarterback?
I don't know.
Did Arch call you?
Did Arch say, "Hey, Sark was talking about moving to Nashville the other week.
Did Cooper call you and say, "Oh, we got to get rid of this Sark guy"? Everybody wants to go to the NFL.
2527, actually, pretty much right as we started talking about Jim Schwartz, sent us a graphic of head coach candidate Jim Schwartz. So maybe – I think that could get the fan base excited.
He's a lot like Vrabel in that he is an alpha personality. He is a high-voltage, no-nonsense guy, but a lot more polite.
I think Schwartz would be a good hire, but he would have to tell you who his offensive coordinator is going to be.
And no matter who you use your coach, you've got to have an offensive roadmap.
Right. You have to be able to tell, you know, Amy, Chad, Mike, "Yes, I'm a defensive coach. I'm going to go be a leader of men, and I'm going to set a culture in this locker room. Here's who's going to develop Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And here's why I trust him to do that."
Yep.
But I don't think that's a bad idea. 615-737-1025.
What if the Browns get fired, all right, and you bring in Schwartz as the head coach and Stefanski as his OC?
I love it.
But Stefanski's probably going to be a head coach again.
Yes, I think he'll have plenty of offers if he got let go. That's been the discussion around Virginia Tech football is, if they hire James Franklin, does he bring Brent Pry back as his defensive coordinator? Because he was under him at Penn State. So, you know, I don't think that would actually work out. But Kevin Stefanski would be another option. I think he'd probably have better offers out there if he's let go by the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in coaching jail for a long time. And I think he's made money. So I would think you would be selective in your next job.
Yes.
But who knows?
The same discussion for Stefanski and Saleh, like, they're coming out of dysfunctional organizations.
Yeah.
Do they want to sign up for another one?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your texts and calls on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we transition over to college football. Vols and Sooners on Saturday night in Neyland Stadium, Tennessee, Oklahoma. Both teams with two losses this season. Both need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. We'll talk some Vandy football. Commodores heading down to Austin to take on Texas. Will Arch Manning play? That is a big question heading towards that game as well. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game.